Jump right into the Word of God. How many of you brought your Bibles? Let me see the Bibles. Just raise your Bible up. I want to see all the Bibles. At this church, we always want you to get used to bringing your Word, okay? If you don't have a Bible, we will buy you a Bible. If you want a cowboy Bible like that, because that's how it was. I got a cowboy Bible. You can throw those cowboy Bibles on the dash. Take them with you all the time, but I want you to get used to bringing your Bible. As of now, I've had to change a few things that I always say. As of now, I'm never going to be a preacher that puts it up on the screen, because I think it's given a lot of people then the temptation opportunity to not bring their Word, because it'll be up where we can read it on the screen. And now, if the Lord tells me to start doing it, then I'll do it. But as of now, I want you to bring that Word. And with that said, I want you to turn to Psalms 91. Psalms 91. Now, as you know, at the drive-in services, all of us have been believing God for revival. Say amen if you agree. We've been pleading with the Lord about revival. Matter of fact, Ricky, Daryl, and myself headed to do a revival last week, about 10, 15 miles above McKinney. After the rodeo, I've been asked to do another revival down towards Gonzales area, and so something's going on. And so me and Ricky and Daryl and whoever else are going to go to another revival, but we are to have it right here. Amen? We are to start seeing the signs and wonders that the Bible says follows the believer. What are the signs and wonders? Well, healing, marriages restored, out of debt. Signs and wonders are the dead in Christ raised, blind eyes opened. I mean, the list can go on and on and on. Deliverance. We've got to start seeing signs and wonders, because they should follow any believer. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, then you need to up your faith and start understanding that God wants you healed. I started preaching, and again, y'all know, coming from the Southern Baptist, my church didn't teach anything on that healing stuff. And he sure didn't teach anything on those tongue stuff, Kawasaki, Mitsubishi, Hyundai. Anyway. Matter of fact, I had a few of my pastor friends say, speaking in tongues is of the devil. And I got to thinking about that, because I didn't understand it either. And we just began to dig into it and found out that it wasn't of the devil, because in college I wasn't worshiping the devil, but the Bible says that when you're in sin, then, God's always there, but you kind of are going in a different direction. You're influenced by him. And when I was influenced by the enemy for 2 years in college, the party was at my house. I always say it like this: we would have a party on Monday, a different crowd on Tuesday, a different crowd on Wednesday, and a different crowd on Thursday. And then it seemed like everybody would come to 605 Runnels in Big Spring, Texas, on Friday and Saturday. And then, being a Christian, I rested on Sunday. Terrible. Wow. 2 years. I was raised in the ministry. My dad was a pastor. My mom, they led the music at many churches growing up. We was already at 13. When I was 13, we was already traveling and singing at all over the country, at the Ross Family musical group. And then I walked away from the Lord he didn't walk away from me, but I walked away from him for 2 years. And then finally one day I got on my knees. But during all of that time, not one time did I speak in tongues. So confusing. Now, I'm not going to do a message because we teach it. I think the Lord showed me if you start teaching these things where the people can go, let me ask a question, then they can receive it a whole lot better. We've been talking about some nuggets, talking about revival, because we want to see all of the manifestations of God. I want to see the blessing. I want to see healing. I want to see deliverance. I want to see everything that God has for you and I in these last days. I don't want to see people defeated over and over and over and over, going through the same old trial and the same old tribulation. No, I want to see them live in victory. And God wants that for all of us. So we need not to justify when bad things happened. I was telling the crowd at the college national finals in Casper, Wyoming a few years ago that God wants to heal you. And I'll never forget, a girl comes up to me and says, no, God doesn't heal everyone. I said, well, I just disagree. God heals everyone that would believe. As we know, the Bible says all things are possible to him that. So if you don't believe in healing, it's not going to happen. But if you believe that by the power of God in Jesus' name, Mark 16, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. If you believe that, it's going to happen in your life. And so she came trying to convince me that God doesn't heal all. She said because her mother is in a wheelchair and God needs her in the wheelchair. I said, well, that's wonderful because God can work a mighty work with her in a wheelchair. I mean, God can get the glory right in the midst of something bad. But then I looked at her and I said this, but wouldn't it reach more people if she got out of that wheelchair and walked in Jesus' name? Come on, y'all. I've seen it. Why? Well, because I try to get around people that believe the Word of God, all the Word of God. Okay, now it's sometimes natural in this so fallen world for there to be some doubting. It's kind of like when Glenn Smith, my spiritual father, went to Australia and the little girl came up to him and said, would you pray over my dog for a fourth leg because he only has three legs? Now, in you know, and he'll tell you this, well, he would have, now he's in heaven, but he wrote it in a book. He was like, in his head, he was like doubting. Oh, Jesus, here's a little girl's faith, wants you to grow a leg on this dog. Now, all the people in this little village area knew this dog had three legs. And here this little girl's heard the Word of God preached. They started seeing scriptures like, lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. Does that mean just humans, or is that your animals as well? Well, we all know that God will heal your animal as well. Amen? Seen that many times in my life. But still, Glenn in his mind's thinking, oh, Jesus, God, don't make us look goofy. And here's this little girl, childlike faith. I want God to put a fourth leg on this dog. So after harassing, right? She just harassed him because he would say, yeah, I'll pray for the dog. And he wouldn't ever do it. And finally, she brought that dog and said, I want you to pray over my dog for God to put a fourth leg. Now, here's the cool thing about God is everybody knew this dog had three legs. And all of a sudden, people started coming around when he was laying hands on this dog. This is in Australia. And he said he got on his knees, and here's this dog. In his mind again, he's thinking, oh, Jesus, come on, help me. Help me, Lord. Don't make me look dumb here. This is all you, sir. While he was praying for this dog, he didn't even know the dog jumped up. And he started hearing people go, oh, wow. Why? Because God put a leg on that dog. Now, in people's minds, they're like, there ain't no way. Yo mama. Because God created that dog with four legs. And just because something happened to it, this little girl had the faith as small as a mustard seed faith to see that God actually would do what the Word of God says. And she believed it, and praise God, it happened in front of people. Amen. You remember when I think it was John Hagee, remember when that guy came in? I was telling Howdy earlier that you're allowed now because of our governor to carry open, or you can conceal carry a gun. And but that guy came in, and I don't know how he did it, but he got past those guards and, you know, the deacons and elders, and he comes all the way to the front, and he has a gun. Now, this was on national television, so people saw it. And he pointed it. He was probably like right here, and it was John Hagee, I believe, in San Antonio. And he's right here. Now, he didn't have time to split and run. And the guy, remember, this has been several years ago, 4,000 people in the audience, and no telling how many was watching on television. The guy said, "I'm going to kill you, preacher." And you know what the preacher did? He didn't do this. Please don't. You know what he did? He said, "You're not going to kill me in Jesus' name, because this is my sword. Amen. This is my protection. Amen. And it will cover me in Jesus' name." On national television, that guy shot off everything in his gun. Bam, bam, bam. Not one bullet penetrated that man of God. Amen. Why? Well, because there's protection. That's what I want to talk about real fast this morning. There's protection in this Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, today we need to get the fear and the doubts and the unbeliefs out and start believing this Bible. I didn't say get goofy. I didn't say start, you know, doing things weird. I'm talking about just simply believing the Word of God so that we can start seeing the manifestations that we are believing God for. Instead of, "Well, I hope it'll happen to me." No, God wants it to happen to you because you are a believer in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. He wants it to happen to you because he's no respecter of persons. He wants it to happen to everybody who would dare to believe the Bible. Now, we can have just another feel-good old message if we want to, but why don't we hear the Word of God so that it will literally penetrate to the spirit man on the inside of us so that we can actually do something in the kingdom of God? Why don't we get excited about God's ways of doing things, which is found in this Bible, and when we lay hands on the sick, they actually recover? Why don't we get out of our houses and we start living by faith and not by fear? Well, that's what we're doing. I instructed the ushers next week that we're not going to have all this separation. Let's get the chairs back together and let's live like we're supposed to live. Okay, now, I want to, and I'm not going to be able to get to all of my notes. Look, they're there. I'm going to get to some, though. So one of the nuggets that we desperately need in the last of the last days, which is now. I mean, I know this pandemic kind of opened up a lot of Christians' eyes, but we are in the last of the last days. This is not a time to be scared. This is the time to get in faith. In faith, we are protected. That's a nugget that we need to live by. We've already talked about repentance. We've already talked about sin. You don't hear sin much spoke about in the church anymore. That might step on someone's toes. But the Word of God steps on all of our toes because God knows what's best for you and I. Okay? So another nugget that we need to have is understanding that God will protect you. Psalms 91, are you there? Say amen. Amen. Verse 1 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High." Let's stop right there because I begin to look up a few of these things. The word dwell, you know what it means? Camp out. I mean, you want to talk about building a tent. That's a good place to put a tent. You're dwelling someplace. It's where someone sits. Did you know that you can sit in the presence of God, but an angel cannot? Don't be mad at me, y'all. Don't be mad at what I'm fixing to say, okay? But when we say, when someone dies, that God just got another angel or someone received their wings, that's not biblical. I know it sounds good, and I understand the heart behind it, but it's not biblical. Because an angel can't sit in the presence of God, but God's people can. An angel was a created thing for the good. So when someone leaves this earth, they don't get wings. They're not an angel. They are made in the image of God. They get to sit in the presence of God, you see. Okay? So when we dwell somewhere, that's where we reside. I want to be right there. Okay? So when the Bible says, he that dwells, all of us, he that dwells in the secret place. I looked up that word secret place. You know what it means? It's your own. That secret place is no one else's. It's your place, praise God. There's no interruptions in that place. The secret. Have you ever had a secret hideout when you was little? You found this place that no one else knew about. I'm not talking about to do bad things, drink beer. But there's this that one place, okay? He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall what? Abide. And then it goes on to say, because I want to abide there. I want to be under that presence of what the Bible says, the shadow of the Almighty. I want to dwell in that place. You see, that's protection, y'all, in these last days. I want to dwell in God's secret place, that place where there's no interruptions. Fox News doesn't come on and say something negative or positive. I mean, that's just a place where we dwell and we reside and we camp out. Oh, thank you, Lord. Because in that place, then, you notice that we then declare of the Lord. It says in verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my, say it with me, refuge and my fortress. Your refuge and your fortress is your safety place. It's the place that has peace. It's the place that has true joy. Joy of the Lord. It's that place that there's provision. There's understanding. There's enlightenment. Oh, wow. Thank you, Father. And around that, though, man, there might be shooting. There might be stealing. There might be everything in chaos. And it might be in your home, but not right here. Right there in that secret place of the Most High where you're dwelling is God's protection. You see, that's the place that we desperately need today. Now, I want to turn one more place and I'll close. I want you to flip to Jeremiah. Jeremiah is just, I believe, to the right, and go to 29. Jeremiah 29. Again, what are we doing this morning? We're getting some nuggets of the Word of God that God wants us to have while we live in this world, but not of this world. We're having some nuggets of God's protection, His safety, right in the midst of rioting, right in the midst of looting, right in the midst of people pulling people out of their vehicles. I saw, being a rodeo guy, y'all might have seen it too, but there was some people in Oklahoma coming from a barrel race, and they had their double cab dually pickup and their big long trailer full of four horses, and they approached a bunch of people stopping the road, and here they come, and they started beating on him. Of course, he went on, and you know, he hit one or two of them, I'm sure. That's kind of what happens when they're in the road. You kind of just, you got to get going. And they pulled off his mirrors, and they threw the cocktail that fires up inside, and I believe they had to put two of the horses down. That man had his gun ready if they would have tried to. He had a family in there, man. I mean, it's amazing what's happening today. Thank God they did get out, and you know, it wasn't, his family wasn't harmed, thank God. But they was trying to get into the horses, and they pulled down the ramp where the horses walk up, and they he finally got away from them far enough, and there was a blockade of policemen, and the policemen came and put that gate up and then made them get the heck out of there because those people were running after them. So I know that there's a lot of chaos and a lot of things that are going on in our world, but in your personal life, in your surroundings, you can have protection. And God wants you to have that protection. Okay? Now, I know we might say, yeah, I've got a protection, an AR-15, brother. Now, we can go across this crowd and see who's packing right now, but we're not going to do that. Put your hand down, boy. There's the guys already. I mean, we have security, trust me. We've set it up a long time ago. But what about the protection that we really need that's better than a gun? Oh, the Spirit of God, man. Dwelling in that secret place of the Most High. Oh, Jesus. But look here real fast in Jeremiah 20:29, because you got to know that God wants you protected. Verse 11, for I know the thoughts, this is God saying, that I think towards you, says the Lord. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. I know, God is saying, the thoughts that I think towards you. What are they, sir? Thoughts of peace. Not of evil. Okay, let's stop right there, and I'll close on this, and I might finish this next week. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. So how many would agree that God is not responsible for all that rioting? Would y'all agree with that? God is not responsible for a hurricane coming and destroying and killing people. Like I had preachers say that on TV. You know, the sin of the people, God's wrath is all over them. No. God is not a killer. He's a God that is full of grace and mercy and forgiveness and protection. God doesn't want to bring a hurricane to kill everybody. I remember when it was going into Louisiana and preacher said, you know, in New Orleans, you know, it was the sin of Mardi Gras. Well, if you studied it out, and some of you have heard this, Mardi Gras, that Bourbon Street, it was open that night. That night it was open. So if God was trying to shut down that and the sin that is in Mardi Gras and in Bourbon Street, he didn't do a very good job, but he killed everybody else around it that flooded their homes, hundreds of people. So let's read that again so we can all come into agreement right now. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. So God's speaking, right? Thoughts of peace, not of evil. Say it with me. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. Say it again. God wants us to have thoughts of peace. This is how he thinks about us, but not of evil. So nothing bad is because of God. Matter of fact, the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from above. So anything bad is not God. It's the devil. There is a devil, y'all. He comes, John 10:10, to steal, kill, and destroy. God is not trying to kill you. He's not trying to destroy us in these last days, but we're living in a world that's pretty chaotic. So there's got to be protection. Amen? Listen to me. God wants to protect all of us. Amen. If you'll dwell in his secret place. Okay? Just because we sin and something, you know, we got tempted and we did something wrong. No, you repent. Say, God, I apologize. Forgive me, Lord, in Jesus' name. You know what happens when you do that? He throws that sin into the sea of forgetfulness. He don't remember it anymore. Now we do. And our friends do. They remember what I did in college. Trust me. I got the mail. I don't know if y'all have been there. I mean, they'll tell us what we did wrong back when. Now we just need to say, oh, that was the old man. Yeah, but Corey, all the partying was at your house. Lots of drinking. I said, yeah, but that was the old man. Because now I'm the new. I'm living a new life. I forget those things that are behind me. Yeah, but I remember. A guy told me that years ago. I was on horseback preaching, and I bet 100 people got saved, and they came out in the arena, and I just built them up. They surrounded my horse. Thank God I had a very gentle horse. We could have killed some people right then. I mean, they surrounded, and, you know, they're wanting to pet, and so, but my horse was pretty gentle, and he just stood there. And a guy at the end of it, when I got off my horse, just before the roping, he said, I got to ask you to forgive me. I said, what'd I do? He said, I've held a grudge against you for 7 years. He said, because I was with you at those parties in college. And now you're all the exact opposite, and I've held that grudge. Listen to me. People may remember what we did wrong back when, yesterday, but when you say, God, forgive me, cleanse me from all unrighteousness, the Bible says he remembers that sin no more as far as the east is to the west. He don't remember it any longer, y'all. Okay, so when you're dwelling in his secret place, don't dwell with the thoughts of, I've been bad. Lightning's going to strike me if I come to that church. No, no, no. The devil's just trying to keep you from dwelling in that secret place. That's right. He doesn't want you to be protected. He wants you to keep getting the fiery darts thrown at you so that they'll penetrate, so that you'll blow it. Okay. Y'all good? Amen. Y'all good? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Stand by. Glory be to God. Just play me just a little music. We're done. Maybe. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Jesus. Just real fast. Real fast. I want to minister to someone. I think it'll be more than one person. I feel how should I say it, Lord? I feel brokenness, and I think there's people right now that's just feeling brokenness. I don't know what for individually, specifically. It could be a number of things. I mean, you're in the states of there's sometimes you just want to cry. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please, just for a second. If that's you, you've just been broken in some areas. I don't know what it is, but if that's you, just right where you're at, I need you to stand up. Not, you don't come down here, just right where you're at, just stand up. I'm just broken. I need you to pray for me. Just stand up. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You've been broken, man. And I know some of you are right there almost on the other side of it. But man, I feel like there's just people are all they're tempted to give up, but you're not gonna. And you've just been broken. All of you that are standing, there's several of you. I want to pray over you. Now, I want to do what the Word says, okay? I want y'all to look up, and I want you to see someone standing, y'all that are seated. I want you to go to them, and I want you to just pray over them. Let's do what the Word says. I mean, I could lay hands on them, and I don't mind. I love that. But if you're just around someone standing, I just want you to get up, if you don't mind. If you've got faith, man, and just just begin to build them up. You don't have to speak out loud unless the Lord tells you to. Just begin to pray with them. Just keep that music going softly. And let's just pray over. We want to break that spirit of brokenness off of their lives. And just, that's what a family does, y'all. When we're hurting, we need each other. When I'm hurting as a pastor, usually people don't know about it. But I need you to stand with me and my family. I need you to stand with me over the direction of this church. I want to do it God's way. I don't want to have another dead church service. So pray over them, build them up, lift them up. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, while you're praying, there's someone in here that is having some shoulder issues. If that's you, come on down here right now. You've just been having some shoulder issues. I need to pray with you. Just come right here. You may have to stop praying for someone, but just come here. I want to pray over you right quick. Shoulders. If you're having shoulder issues, just come up here. Father, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Be healed. And we give you praise for it. Be healed by the power of God in Jesus' name. Say amen to that. Father, shoulder, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Be healed by the power of God. Lay hands on the sick, right? We'll recover. So when I lay hands on you, you say, I receive that. We're not moved by what we feel. We're moved by the word. Be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. And say, I receive that in Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray over shoulders. It's amazing. Be loosed in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, be healed. In Jesus' name. No more pain. Be healed. In Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Y'all say, I receive that in Jesus' name. Father, be healed. Healed in Jesus' name. Nothing missing, nothing broken. In Jesus' name. Amen? All right. Glory be to God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Turn that down just for a second. Sing this with me. I surrender all. Oh, I surrender all. The whole church, come on. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. Sing it one more time. Ready? Everybody. And I surrender all. Well, I surrender all. Raise your hand, Joe. And all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Amen. All right, bow your head and close your eyes and pray this prayer with me right now. Everybody in here, pray it. And you all that are watching, pray this prayer. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you've been raised from the dead, and I'm born again, coming to heaven when I leave this earth. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, I know believers prayed that prayer with us as well. But if you just prayed that prayer and you never had made Jesus the Lord of your life, you didn't know if you'd go to hell or to heaven when you died. But because you just made Jesus the Lord of your life, the Bible says that when you stand before God, He'll say, Welcome, thou good and faithful servant, and enter into the rest, the joy of the Lord, heaven. If you just prayed that prayer and you never had, I want you to shoot your hand up when I say three. I want you to do it with boldness. I know you're going to do it right where you're seated or right where you're standing, or maybe you're sitting watching somewhere on a phone or a television. If you just gave your life to Jesus, shoot that hand up when I say three. By raising your hand, you're saying, Father, I just gave my life to Jesus this morning. And then just put your hand right back down. You ready? One, with every bit of boldness. Two, three, go. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Hallelujah. Anybody else? You just said, I just prayed that prayer and gave my life to Jesus. There was a couple of people that raised their hand. If I didn't see it and you don't have a Bible, make sure you get it up. Let me give you a Bible and then just put it right back down. Anybody else? Glory be to God. All right, look at me. Son of a gun, it's 12:04. I'm 4 minutes late. Did y'all have a good time? All right. Thank you for being here. Appreciate you. Love you. All the new people, thank you for coming. I know you pass a lot of churches. I tell you what, I just got tired of having a dead church service growing up. I slept in a lot of the pews. So thank God we can have some life and we can have some fun. We can love on each other. So next week, I want you to invite some people. We got, this church can seat right under 1,000. I know there are going to be a lot of Ropers and their families here. Don't miss what's going to happen next week. Amen? But all the new people, thank you for coming. I hope you come back. If you don't have a Bible-believing church, I hope this one will be here. I was going to have people join today, but I want to have a meeting so we can get organized with our rodeo. After next week, people that want to actually join our church, we don't make a big deal about joining. In our churches growing up, when you joined, they voted you in. All in favor? Aye. All opposed? You always wondered if someone was going to vote no to have you come in. We don't do any of that here. We don't vote you in, therefore we can't vote you out. Amen? We just want you to come and receive from a gracious God. We love you very much. After I pray and dismiss, if I can, anybody that wants to help at the rodeo, I want you to come right in this section. We're going to do it fast, so just come right over here. There's concession help. They always need that. I believe they've got a lot of people written down. But I also need a little bit of help in certain areas of the rodeo. If you work in that arena, you have to have a cowboy hat, a long sleeve shirt, pants, and boots. That's a dress code for a rodeo. Amen? So no baggy jeans, no hats turned on backwards. We're going to be a rodeo cowboy for a day. Amen? So we're going to meet right over here, but I need a little bit of help. I've had a couple specific jobs that it's not going to be a big deal, but listen to me. If you volunteer, this is 4 days of work, but it's a blast. I'm telling you, we have one of the largest rodeos in the country. We've been given awards for, we normally have a carnival set up, but they couldn't do the carnival because of this virus. So no carnivals are happening this summer at all. So we're going to have a rodeo. We have a few vendors. If you still want to put up a banner, advertise your business, help out with sponsorship, that's what it takes. I add $20,000 to the PRCA Steer Open. I add $10,000 to the Open Rodeo. So we've had to, through sponsorship, gather in $30,000 plus. And if you still want to be a part of that, you better hustle, because we need to get you a banner made and so on. Rick, stand up. That's who you see for sponsorship. We have lots of businesses, y'all. I mean, we don't have trouble anymore after 10, 12 years of this rodeo. They call us to want to sponsor it. That's how good the sponsorship is. Lots of, I mean, the political people are putting their signs up because they know how many people come out here. So, with that said, stand to your feet and we'll be dismissed. Love you. Thanks for all you people that gave your life to the Lord. We're now brothers and sisters in Christ. Now it's time to, if you need help, we're here for you. If we need help, I hope you'll help us. Amen? Amen. Father, we love you. We love you. Thank you, Lord, for all you're doing here. I know it's called a cowboy church, but you don't have to be a cowboy. It's just a bait to get cowboys that will not go to any church because they don't have a suit and a tie on. So, Father, we welcome anybody. Doesn't matter if they're city or, but Father, we're just getting back the barn mentality where Jesus was born, where it's real, where it's practical, where we believe what the Bible says and we don't sugarcoat anything. Father, that's not what you want. But Father, in the midst of it, we need protection, and so we receive that today. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. With a big round of applause, you're dismissed. We're going to have a meeting.